All right. We have to wrap our heads around this. Okay. So we were discussing yesterday whether or not Shechita is a matir. It permits us to eat meat, but it's necessarily a mitzvah to do it, or whether, or perhaps the other possibility is that if a person wants to eat meat, we're willing to go as far as some, even if there's not a mitzvah to eat meat every day of the year, but if a person wants to eat meat, so then he has to follow through on the procedure of Shechita, that he's actually fulfilling a mitzvah when he does so. So we have these two possible ways of viewing Shechita. Is it just matir, the meat, a way of permitting it, or is it actually, if a person wants to eat meat, actually a mitzvah to do it? And we discussed there might be two important differences. One is whether or not we can speak about lichatchila or b'diyeved when it comes to Shechita, at least on the level of deraisa. Meaning b'diyeved, if a person's shefted roiv of the siman, the majority of the kohen and the veshet, so that's good. L'chadchila, we saw the Gemara says in Chav Zayin and Aleph, he has to shech the entire Kohen Veshet. So can we entertain the possibility that that's in fact a din d'oraisa? So according to Tosfos Masechtas Nida, it would depend on whether Shechita is a mitzvah or a matir, because Tosfos develops the principle that with regards to mitzvos, we can have a l'chadchila versus a b'di'evet as opposed to a matir. The whole discussion doesn't seem to make any sense. If it's mutter, it's mutter. There's no l'chadchila or b'di'evet. Way of making it mutter. If it's mutter, it's mutter. If it's not mutter, then it's not. When it comes to mitzvahs, we can speak about a lechatchila or b'diyevin. Rav Shechel develops this principle at length in many of his farm. It appears in Bikvei Tzon, but in the first siman in his third sefer, in Ginas Egos, is a whole piece, I think Siman Aleph, dedicated to this Taisis and Masechtas Nida. When it comes to mitzvahs, you can have a lechatchila, the raisa, as opposed to a matir, where every lechatchila will be the evidence, won't be the midrabanan. So that's why he suggests that perhaps, like we're familiar with halacha, when it comes to kriyas shmar davening, that lechatchila is supposed to be mashmiya la oznav. Of course, you have to pronounce the words. You can't go. You have to actually pronounce the words. But not only are you supposed to pronounce the words, mechatek pesvasov, but you're also supposed to be mashmiya li oznav. You're supposed to hear what you're saying. If it's even if you're in a loud room, you can usually hear what you're saying. Without disturbing, those around you, obviously. So, but he is supposed to hear what you say. If you didn't hear what you said, so be the yevidu yoytze. So if Shechta suggests, well, if by mitzvos we can have a l'chadchilu d'oraisa, maybe this in fact is l'chadchilu d'oraisa. It's in fact a din d'oraisa, l'chadchila, to not only articulate the words of tefila, but to actually be able to hear them. Since tefila is a mitzvah, and kriyas shma is a mitzvah, maybe it's a l'chadchilu d'oraisa to be able to hear that what you're saying. Or, familiar with this halacha, but sukkahs, usually every year someone will say a dvar Torah at the table where they mention the Bach, where the Bach comments on the pasuk, connection with sukkahs, l'man yedu doraseichem kipa sukkahs hashavti es b'nei Yisrael, that you should know for all generations, remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in sukkahs in a way out of Mitzrayim, that the Bach feels if you don't have this in mind when you're sitting in the sukkah, you're not in a fulfillment of the mitzvah. Because the pasuk says, even though mitzvah say, whether we pass a mitzvah, shichas kavan is a whole sugya, but here by sukkah, the pasuk says, l'man yedu d'oraseichem, so that you should know. So if you don't have it in mind, you're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah. So Shechta suggests, maybe that's a l'chadchila d'oraisa, according to the Bach. It might not only be a midrabbanan, you have to keep it in mind. It might even be a l'chadchila. So you fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah without it. Even he doesn't even think the Bach will go that far. But it's perhaps a l'chadchila d'oraisa to have in mind while we're sitting in the sukkah. His other example is by tzitzis. The tzitzis are supposed to be on the corners of your garments. Everybody knows, if you look at your tzitzis, So let's say your Arba Kanfis, so you have, let's say, the two corners right in the front. You have one corner on the sides, and then the corner on the bottom. So the strings can either come, be around the bottom of the baguette, or it can be around the side of the baguette. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. So the Shari Tshuva writes, in Hilchos Tzitzis, is supposed to be around the side of the baguette, because then when you're standing, the strings touch the corner. They go over the corner. If it's crimped right around the bottom of the baguette, so then when the tzitzis hang down, they don't go over the corner. So Shari Tshuva says you're supposed to have them, on the side, hanging over the corner, which is that way the strings are over the corner of your garment. Because in order to poke the hole, right, you got to put it, somewhere over here. So then it could either be crimped along the side or it could be crimped along the bottom. So along the bottom, they don't hang over the corner of the begin. So Shari Tshuva says it's not supposed to be like this, it's supposed to be like this. And if you see your tzitzis and I like that, you're supposed to fix it. Bring the strings up and put them over here. In fact, it says in Shari Tshuva, you can't do that on Shabbos. Why? Because like Masak and Mona, you're fixing your tzitzis before they were broken or not in an ideal state. The ideal state is if they're over to the side. So if Shechta suggests, maybe that's also the Chachilo Deiraisa. Because really, but the other is still yotze tzitzis if they're hanging on the bottom. But it really supposed to be hanging on the side. So almost all the Sarah Shuvah says you can't even do it on Shabbos because you're fixing your tzitzis before they were broken and now you're fixing them. So maybe Shuvah suggests maybe that's also a lechatchila. Deiraisa. How could you have a din deiraisa? It's lechatchila. By Tosfos says by mitzvahs you can have it, even though by a matir it doesn't make any sense. By a mitzvah such a thing can make sense. So tvila. Taisa says, it doesn't make sense to have a lechatchila b'diavad. If your tefillah works, your tefillah works. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. When it comes to mitzvahs, you can have a concept of a lechatchila or a b'diavad, even midiraisa. So to here, the Ramban struggles is the idea of shuffling roi v'asiman of a din midiraisa, din midirabanan. He wrestles with this. So and then he concludes, nah, it's only midirabanan because shchita is hamatir. However, if you would suggest shchita is a mitzvah, maybe that's what the Ramban is struggling with. If shchita would be a mitzvah, so then perhaps you could entertain the possibility that shechting the entire siman, not just roiv, is in fact a din midaraisa. Yeah? Okay. The other nafkamina we had is what kind of bracha is the bracha in shchita? The Taz suggested it's a bircha sheva vaidah. Praising Hashem for giving us the institution of shchita, of shechting animals in a humane way, as opposed to an inhumane way. So we thank Hashem for teaching us how to do that. But it's not a mitzvah necessarily, it's not a birchas mitzvah, and the Rambam seems to imply, as we saw, lefikach, since shchita is a mitzvah, lefikach, therefore you have to make a bracha, that implies that the bracha on shchita is in fact a birchas ha-mitzvah. And again, this might depend whether shchita is a mitzvah or shchita is only a matir. How do we paskin? So look over here at the Shulchan Aruch, if you have the sheets from yesterday, if you don't, I have an extra one. Hey, but the Shulchan Aruch paskin is at the bottom of the sheet. Yep. Kodem. You have to make the bracha on shchita before you shecht. So from the very fact that you make the bracha on shchita before, as opposed to after, usually a bircha shev v'aydah, praising Hashem for giving us something, we make the bracha after. Right? We said according to the Rosh yesterday that birchas erusin is a bircha shev v'aydah. The Rosh feels really the bracha is supposed to be made after the chassan hands the cow of the ring. We do it before, because we pass going to Rambam, perhaps, that the Birchas Erusin is a Birchas HaMitzvah, on the mitzvah of getting married. So, but the fact that we make the Bracha on Shechita beforehand seems to imply that the Bracha of Shechita is, in fact, a Birchas HaMitzvah, because Shechita is, in fact, a mitzvah. We seem to pass going like the Rambam. So even though there was a big dispute, the Rambam and the Ravid, the Taz said the whole bracha is a bircha sheva vaidah. Is there a mitzvah to Shechita? There's no mitzvah to Shechita. We seem to pass that there is a mitzvah to Shechita, and that's why we make the bracha beforehand. The Rambam goes on, and it's quoted here in the Shulchan Aruch, that even though if a person shechted, if a person shechted, but he didn't make a bracha, the shechita still works, right? It is still matir the basar. Even though you didn't make the bracha, you've still fulfilled the mitzvah, or even if you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah, you've certainly been matir the basar. You went through the proper procedure, so certainly the meat would be permitted. That's what the Rambam writes in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Shechita, Lacha. Aleph, that if a person in a halacha beis, vim lo birech bein meshayeh bein meizet abasa mutter. That's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Sim in yud tesif aleph im shachav lo birech shera. Well, you know it's obvious. If you take lulav, you didn't make the bracha. You certainly fulfill the mitzvah of lulav. If you ate matzah and you didn't make the bracha, certainly you fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. Why then does the Shulchan Aruch, does the Ram go out of his way to say this? So the Taz writes over here in the brackets is coming to exclude to Bavar and Lafuke, the opinion of Eldar Adani. We're going to have to figure out who this guy is over here. Who is Eldar Adani? But Eldar Hadani's opinion was, which the Mordechai brings, that if you didn't make the bracha on shechita, the meat is still prohibited. Well, that's wild. That's wild. Even if shechita is a matir and not a mitzvah, why should the bracha be ma'akev? If you didn't make the bracha of Shevach Vaidah to Hashem, why should that in your shechita not be valid? That you got to go really out on the wedge to explain that opinion. You might even fall off, right? You might have to go too far to explain that. Yeah. All right, but that's the opinion of Eldar Adani. The Rambam was coming to exclude that. Don't think that that's correct. No, that's too much. Therefore, the Rambam went out of his way, even though it's obvious. The Rambam went out of his way to say, of course, if you didn't make the bracha, you still fulfill the mitzvah of shechita, and the meat is still permitted. Okay, so we seem to posit it's a birchas hamitzvah. However, there is an important machlokes here about the nature of the birchas hamitzvah of shechita. It's really not unique to hilchos shechita, but hilchos shechita happens to be a very lomdish area of halacha, and there is a machlokes here about the nature of birchas hamitzvahs in general that happens to appear here in hilchos shechita. This is one of the central discussions of this topic, And that what is the nature of a Birchas HaMitzvah in general? And the meaning, what kind of, what's the function of the bracha? Because the Rambam writes over here in Perek Aleph, Hilchas Brachos, Halacha Hey, and Halacha Vav. Turn the page. The Rambam writes, on the sheet from yesterday, if you don't have it over here, Ha'ois a mitzvah v'lo birech. A person performs a mitzvah, he didn't make a bracha. In mitzvah shadayna siyasa kayemes. Let's say he didn't make the bracha initially. The meat is still permitted. Yeah, that's for sure. But let's say you didn't make the bracha, and then you fulfill the mitzvah. Can you make the bracha afterwards? Can I make the bracha on shechita after the shechita is over? So in mitzvah shadayin asiyasa kayemes. Let's say I'm still doing it. I didn't make the bracha before I put on the tzitzis, but I'm still wearing the tzitzis. So mevarach achar asiyasa. Then I can make the bracha afterwards. V'im davar sha'avarhu eino mevarach. If it's over by shechita, then you can't make the bracha afterwards. That's the opinion of the Rambam. Ketzad, how is this? Hareish nesatif betzitzis or shalavash tefillin. Or shayashav besukkah, a person puts on tzitzis tefillin or sitting in the sukkah, v'lo birech tchila, you didn't make the bracha beforehand. You're supposed to make it over la'asiyasan, you didn't make it. Before you eat in the sukkah, you forgot to make it. So you can make your bracha later. Chayz mevarach asher nesatif, asher kishom zayisav betzivan mosatif betzitzis. Many do this by the talis kol, and they make the bracha mitzvah tzitzis after they're already wearing the talis kol. Chayz mevarach. You can make the bracha after you already put on the tefillin. You can make it after you're sitting in the sukkah already. But avalim shachat b'loy bracha eino chayzer achar shchita mevarach asher kishom zayis v'tzivanu hashchita. You can't make the bracha later on. The mitzvah's over. So since the mitzvah's over, you can no longer make the bracha. That's the Rambam's opinion. Yeah.
But what's the actual mitzvah? It's the actual shechting.
Yes.
Ma'aser shchita.
No. No. Of owning shecht and meat. No. The mitzvah is performing the action of shechita. It's over. So how can you make the bracha now? You ate the matzah already. You can't make the bracha achilas matzah after you ate it. How can I make the bracha al shechita after I shechted the animal? So Rambam says, if it's a continuous action, it's still going on, a continuous situation, you can make the bracha later on. If not, not. The Agosa Shri here at the beginning of Masechtus Kulin disagrees. Says that goes to Shri Miu. That's of course the commentary on the side of the Rosh. Look over here, Oisid Beis Miu Imlo Birech Koydim Hashkita. You didn't make the bracha prior to the Shkita. Yochol Vorech Achar Hashkita. V'yoytze Yedei Chovasa Shekol Mitzvah Shelo Birech Oyvel Asiyasam Vorech Achar Asiyasam. Kedepirish Bebrachis. Says that goes to Shri. Even after the mitzvah is over, you could still make the bracha. This is a universal machlokes with regards to Birchas Hamitzvahs. It happens to appear here in Shkita. But it applies to all mitzvahs. So according to the Gaisa Shri, after you're done eating matzah, I don't know how long you have, but after you're done eating matzah, you forgot to make your bracha before, and you can make it after. And this is opinion in Hilchos Brachos too. Look at the Gaisa Shri over here, Masechtos Brachos, so you see Gimel, but Kohecha Shelo Birech Kamei De Mitzvah, Mevarech Achar HaMitzvah, V'yosei De Chavos. If you didn't make the bracha beforehand, you can make the bracha afterwards. What area certainly does this not work? Birchas Hanenin, right? If you drank water already, you can't make shakal on the Yavidvaro after you drank the water. That makes no sense. Why does that make no sense? Okay, but why is that different? Huh? Because what's the whole purpose of the bracha? To permit me to eat something that really doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Hashem. So I'm asking permission from Hashem before I eat his food. If I ate it already, right? Doesn't make, despite what goes on here in YU, if you did it already, it doesn't make sense to ask permission. It's done already. So he says, "Achim besuda." The whole reason that you make a bracha is because you're not allowed to benefit from that which belongs to Hashem without asking permission. Came in the Avir Alcha v'giya bircha chreina. However, itchi. You missed the opportunity. You can no longer make a birch sanen. And now, if you'll drink more, you'll eat more. Then you can make it, but otherwise not. So Goy Sashri says, "Don't tell me birch sanen is the same as birch sanen. A birch sanen, if you didn't make the bracha beforehand." Certainly, you can't make it afterwards. But Birchas HaMitzvah, why not? And don't say it's only when the mitzvah is still continuous, like tzitzis and tefillin and sitting in the sukkah. No, any mitzvah. If you miss the opportunity to make it before, you make it after. What's so bad? That's the opinion of the Gos HaShri. The opinion of the Rambam is not so. The opinion of the Rambam is that unless you're continuously involved in the mitzvah, once the mitzvah is over, you can no longer make the bracha. So this discussion appears here in the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Shechita, and the Shach brings a proof to the Rambam from a Gemara Masechtas Brachos that compares Birchas Hanen into Birchas HaMitzvah. Because look, the Brachos says, the Gemara says Masechtas Brachos after an hour of an hour. Boy, minei, you might have seen this Gemara. Boy, minei, Merav Chizda, they asked the Shah of Rav Chizda, Misha Akav is Shasav Eloi Birech. Right? You ate, you drank, you didn't make a bracha. Mahu sheyachsav yivar. Can you make the bracha afterwards? Amalahu. He said to them, Misha'achos shum v'recha noidev. If he ate garlic, right, and his breath still smells. Yachsav v'yachos shum achar kedei sheyarecha noidev. So he should go back and eat more garlic so his breath should smell even worse. What does that mean? You forgot to make the bracha, you can make it worse. But make a bracha later on. Amaravina hilkach afil gomer sudaso. Oh no, what did he say? Misha achos shum v'recha noidev. Yachsav v'yachos shum acher kedei sheyarecha noidev. Therefore, even if a person already finished his meal, he could go back and make a bracha again. Oh, so you can make the bracha afterwards. But then the Gemara asks, and the Gemara brings a proof to this. Desanya, tava va'ola, if a person went into the mikvah and he came out, omar ba'ali yoso, after he went into the mikvah, baruch hashem kishom tzvayis v'tzivan ola tefila. You can make the bracha on tefila afterwards. So just like you can make the bracha on tefila after you come out of the mikvah, so too you can make a birchas hanen and after you ate already. Samar says, no, they're not the same. Why is birchas hanen not the same as a birchas hamitzvah? That's different. Why? Because when what time a person is going into the mikvah here? Who's going into the mikvah? A ger. What's the problem with the ger? The ger is not Jewish prior to the tefillah. So he can't make a bracha certainly before the tefillah. He's supposed to not Jewish. So when's the only time he's going to have an opportunity to make a bracha on the tefillah? Is after he comes out of the mikvah. That's the first opportunity that he's Jewish. So the bracha on tefillah, you know, has to be. You're forced into saying to make the bracha afterwards because you simply can't make the bracha before. So since you can't make the bracha before, you make it afterwards. But that doesn't necessarily mean that by Birch Sanenin, if you forgot to make the bracha before, you can make it afterwards. Maybe Birch Sanenin, if you forgot to make the bracha before, you can't make it afterwards. It's not the same as tefillah. Why? Tefillah's mitzvah, the guy can make the bracha earlier, he's partially not Jewish, he has to make the bracha later. Ah, so that's different. That's different. So in that situation, you can make a Birch HaMitzvah later on. But maybe in every other situation we have the possibility of making the bracha before, if you make it before, you yotze. If you didn't make it before, you can't make the bracha later. So birchas hanenin, however itchi. If you didn't make it before, you can't make it later. But what do you see from the entire premise of the Gemara, says the Shach? That we're comparing birchas hamitzvah to birchas hanenin. The Gemara said, in its discussion about whether or not you can make a birchas hanenin after you wait, well, look at tefillah, you make a bracha on tefillah after you came out of the mikvah, don't you say you can make a bracha even after you're done? So the same should be true with regards to birchas hanenin. You can make the bracha even after you ate. The Gemara says, nah, that bracha on tefillah is different because you can't, you simply had no possibility of making the bracha before he wasn't Jewish. But according to the Gosa Shri, how could the Gemara even compare the two? Birchas Hananin is for the purpose of permitting you to eat the food. So then it doesn't make sense to ask for permission once you ate. Birchas HaMitzvah has nothing to do with Birchas Hananin. So why can't it be that even though I didn't make the bracha before, I can make the bracha after? And how could you even bring on a raya from the bracha of tevila, birchas hamitzvah, the bracha of birchas hanenin? They're not the same. So the Gemara bracha seems to indicate, you hear how it seems to indicate like the Rambam, from the fact that Gemara put the two discussions together, making a bracha on a mitzvah. If you didn't make a bracha on a mitzvah before you did it, can you make the bracha afterwards? So by tevila we said you can, because there's no other way of doing it, negotiating the situation. The Gemara put that same discussion together with whether if you forgot to make a birchas hanenin before you ate, can you make the bracha afterwards? Sounds like the two in fact are the same. Yeah.
Can it be different for something like a sukkah or tefillin or tzitzis where you're still involved with the mitzvah even after?
Absolutely. So even the Rambam who says once you miss the opportunity to make the bracha before and you can't make it later would agree if it's an ongoing mitzvah, you can make the bracha later on. That's kuliyama lo pligi. The machlokes between the Rambam and the Gosa Shri is if I forgot to make the bracha before and the mitzvah is over, like eating matzah, right? So you certainly can't make al achila, you know, hamotzi lechem in aretz after. Can I make achilas matzah after? Hagosa Shri says, sure. Ah, birchas hanenin you can't make after. Ah, birchas hanenin has nothing to do with birchas mitzvah. The Shach says, but the Gemara put the two together. The Gemara said, look at tefillah, if you can make the bracha after the tefillah, so why can I make the birchas hanenin after I ate? That implies like the Rambam. That really they're all the same. And therefore the Rambam says, just like if a mitzvah is, you know, if eating is over, right? You're not drinking anymore. You can no longer make shakol niyabedvaro. So too, if you're done with the mitzvah, you can no longer make asher kishem tzoy tzivano
ashkita. But what about something, for example, I think for asher yatzar, can't you say it until the next time you need to go to the bathroom?
Asher yatzar is not a berchsa mitzvah. Going to the bathroom is not yet a berchsa mitzvah.
So that's only assuming that shechting is a mitzvah. Because
of course, but we paskin it is a mitzvah. The Rambam told us it's a mitzvah. The Rambam said that you make it over last year, and the Rambam says because shkita is a mitzvah, lefichach, therefore you have to make it a bracha.
So when would be the end of the shkita? Wouldn't that? Couldn't we say that maybe it's when the entire cow or whatever is finished, not when I finish my individual meal?
No, the shkita is over even before you ate it. Shkita is over when you're done with the cutting the innovation. Yeah.
Because now we're saying the shechting itself is the mitzvah as opposed to the process.
Of course. The mitzvah there is the shkita. So once the shkita is over, you can't make the bracha. So Soloveitchik explained what the Hagos, Hashvi, and the Rambam are arguing about is really the nature of Birkas HaMitzvahs in general. And that is because according to Hagos, Hashvi, a Birkas HaMitzvah, now again, this blurs the lines between the different categories of bracha, but it's a Birkas HaMitzvah is a kind of praising Hashem for giving us the mitzvah. What then is the difference between a Birkas HaMitzvah and a Birkas Shevach HaHidah becomes fuzzy. But according to Hagos Hashvi, it's a kind of a Birkas Shevach HaHidah, thanking Hashem for the mitzvah, giving us the opportunity to come close to Him, thanking us for Him for the relationship. So therefore, it says Hagos Hashvi, you forgot to make the bracha before, make it after. Because we make all Birkas Shevach HaHidah after. So okay, the Birkas HaMitzvah is supposed to be made over last year, but you weren't able to, so make it after. It's not the same as a Birkas HaNanin, which comes to be matir me to eat food. That comes to permit the food. Shkita is not, you know, Birkas HaMitzvah is not permitting me to do the mitzvah. It's thanking Hashem for giving me such a relationship. However, Soloveitchik explained that according to the Rambam, he compares Birkas HaNanin to Birkas HaShkita. Just like you can't make a shahakol niyabedvar when you're done eating, because you already ate the food. It makes no sense to make a Birkas HaMitzvah after you perform the mitzvah, because the Birkas HaMitzvah is a matir. It's coming just like Birkas HaNanin permits me to eat the food. A Birkas HaMitzvah permits me to enter into the domain of the Ribono Shel Olam. And I can't do so without first knocking on the door, without first asking permission. That's if Soloveitchik felt a Birkas HaMitzvah is itself a Birkas HaNanin, meaning along the same lines. Not the Hanah of doing the mitzvah, but rather a kind of matir, meaning a permission slip. Asking Kadosh Baruch Hu, knocking on the door before I barge in and perform a mitzvah. And in fact, it's not just brisketaira. It says that the Rambam says it's mamish beferish. Look over here, it says the Rambam. I'm not just drinking the Kool-Aid over here. This is it jumps out at you from the Rambam. The Rambam writes, Perek Aleph, Hilchos Brachos, Halacha Beis. Over here, Ois Tezvav. Umidivrei Seifrim Levarech HaKol Michael Tchilo. The whole concept, notion of Birkas HaNanin, of course, is only midrabbana. Va'acha kach yehana mimenu. You have to make the bracha, and then you benefit. First, ask permission from Hashem to drink that which belongs to Him. Right? Everything is yours. Then the Rambam says, "V'chol hanenu below bracha mal." You ate without making a bracha. First, you stole from Hashem. Ukishem shemivarchin al ano kach mivarchin al kol mitzvah mitzvah v'achar kach yaseh osa. The only thing that's more dramatic in the Rambam than lefichach is ukishem. Oh, and the Rambam says kishem. He equates one thing with another. So Rambam is tipping us, you know, his hand as to what how he understood these two concepts, or the fact that they're the same. So Rambam says, "Ukeshem shemavarch ma'ano kach mavarch ma'amitzvah." The same way you make a brach on the ano, you make the brach on the mitzvah. Teaches us that a berachas ha'mitzvah is a kind of berachas hananin. In what sense? In the sense that I am now co-opting a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. You got to knock on the door before you do that. You can't barge into, you know, the residence of the Ribono Shel Olam without first asking permission. So you need a matir to have a relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. What is the matir is the Birkas HaMitzvah. Now, this Soloveitchik has this notion somewhere else, it's a similar concept, which represents a whole hashkafa, which is not really common in our times. But and that is, Soloveitchik was under the impression you need a matir to have a relationship with Hashem, right? And we can't just, you know, demand, we want a relationship with you, Kaddish Baruch Hu. We need a matir about before we perform a mitzvah. That's where the Rav felt we actually need a matir, we need a license to daven to the Ribono Shel Olam. We need permission to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he quoted a famous Gemara, it's in Yana D'Yoyma, Rosh Chodesh Elul is upon us, which of course leads us to Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah, how many brachas do we have in the Shemoneh Esrei? How many brachas in the Shemoneh Esrei? How many normally that we know?
9,
18. We have 18. Normally, right, Shemona Esrei, 18. How many on Shabbos? 7. How many on Rosh Hashanah? 9. Now, 9 is not really ideal, right? Because why do we have 7? Why do we have 7 on Shabbos? You have the 3 brachas at the beginning. You have Avis, you have Gvuras, and then you have Kedushas Hashem, Hakel HaKadosh. Those are the 3 introductory brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. Then we have the 3 concluding brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. Moedim, Hamach Shishkanos L'Tzion, then you have Haidat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then we have the bracha for Shalom, the 3 brachas at the end, the concluding brachas. So, and then on Shabbos, or Yantav, we always have the bracha of Kedushas Hayoim. So Rosh Hashanah, meaning Mekadosh HaShabbos, Mekadosh Yisrael V'Azmanim. So Rosh Hashanah should have been the same thing. It should have been 3 before, 3 after, and Kedushas Hayoim. What are the 3 additional brachas that we have to add on Rosh Hashanah? Malchus, Zechronus, and Shofars. So if you have 7, like every other Yantiv, 3 before, 3 after, and the Kedushas Hayoim, recognizing the uniqueness of the day, so that's 7, and we want to add for Rosh Hashanah, Malchus, Zechronus, and Shofars, the 3 themes of Rosh Hashanah. So how many should we have had? 10. We only have 9. And in fact, there's a big machlokes in the Gemara, which bracha gets doubled up? Right? Which one do we double up? We double up Kedushas Hayoim with Malchus. Yes, it's Hamelach HaKadosh. And then we have Mekadosh Yisrael V'yom HaZikaron. We have Melach Malchus. Bracha Malchus is, I forgot the Nusach HaBracha, but Malchus is together with Kedushas Hayoim. Then we go Zechronus and Shofars. So we double up. And so Machlokes had to double up. We Paskin is with Malchus. Other Tanoim held that it was doubled up in a different way. Kedushas Hayoim was stup somewhere else. We have to run doubling up. Why are we doubling up? Because we really should have had 10, but we only have 9. Why do we only have 9? Why don't we just make it 10? 10 is what makes sense. 7, like every other Shabbos in Yantif, and 3 additional for Malchus, Zechronus, and Shofars. Why don't we have 10? Why don't we only have 9? So Soloveitchik explained, because the Gemara says Masechtas Brachas, what's the precedent for 18? How do we know there's 18 brachas in Shemoneh Esrei? It's Gemara Brachas in Daf Chav Ches Mabez. So Gemara says, because the Perek of Tehillim, Perek of Kapitul Chav Tes, Havu LaHashem B'nei Elim, we say every Shabbos. So how many times does Hashem's name appear in that Perek of Tehillim? 18. So that's why there's 18 brachas in Shemoneh Esrei. What about Shabbos and Yontif? There's 7. Why do we have 7, says the Gemara? Because the word ko Hashem alamayim, the word ko appears in that same parak of Tehillim 7 times. So that's where we got 7 from. Where does the 9 of Rosh Hashanah come from, says the Gemara? From Chana. Chana, when she davens the Ribbono Shel Olam, uses Hashem's name 9 times. So that's why we have 9 brachas in Rosh Hashanah. So Soloveitchik explained that the Gemara needed a precedent to daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam. How do we daven to? How can we? Who gives us the right to say 18 brachas? Oh, we need Hashem's name appears in Kapitul Chavtes 18 times. That gives us license to daven to you with 18 brachas. What gives us the license to say Shemoneh Esrei 7 brachas? Oh, the word Ko appears in that Kapitul Tehillim 7 times, just like David HaMelech did it. We can do it too. Ah, what about 9 of Rosh Hashanah? Chana used the word Hashem 9 times, so we can also have 9 brachas. What about 10? Rosh Hashanah really should have been 10. Oh, we have no license to do 10. There's no precedent for that. So Soloveitchik said, that's why we can't have a Shemoneh Esrei and Rosh Hashanah of 10 brachas. That would have been ideal. 7 like every other Shabbos and Yantif, and 3 for Malchus and Renitz and Shofars. We have no precedent for that. There's no matir for that. So we can't barge into the Ribbono Shel Olam with a petition of a Shemoneh Esrei of 10 brachas. No one gave us the right to do it. This is of Soloveitchik's opinion in general. But this is, you know, we need a matir to do mitzvahs. We need a matir to daf. It's very heavy. Yeah? We would think, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu's door is open to us all the time. We don't really need him. Okay, but even if your parents' door, you know, is open to you, they're always happy to see you. When you move out of the house, you got to knock before you come in, right? So you have to knock. You can't just barge in. It's the right thing to do. So this is a matir. It's like knocking on the door. Kadosh Baruch Hu's always happy to see us. But we have to knock on the door before we come in. And we need a precedent to do it. So before a person does a mitzvah, knocking on the door is making a bracha. That's matir you to do the mitzvah. Just like a birchas hanenin. As opposed to the Hagos Hashri said, no, it's not like a birchas hanenin. Birchas hanenin, if you didn't make it before, you can't make it after. That's matir you to eat the food. Birchas mitzvah is birchas shavuidah. We're thanking Hashem for the relationship. So even if you didn't make the bracha before, you can make the bracha afterwards. And that's his opinion for all birchas mitzvah. There's another nafkamina. Not only can you make the bracha after you perform the mitzvah, really passing like the Rambam, right? If you didn't make the bracha before, you can't make it after. But maybe that's also a kula. It's a chumrah, right? You can't make the bracha after. Maybe it's also a kula. What happens if you're in the middle of a meal, eating and drinking? Can you speak? Is that a hefsik? You have to make a new bracha? No. No, right? No, you don't have to make a... It's a mitzvah to speak in the middle of the meal, Divrei Torah. You don't have to make a new bracha, Hamaytzelech Min Haaretz, after the Divrei Torah. In the meal, you don't have to make a new bracha. Talking is not considered to be a hefsik. So what if I'm in the middle of performing a mitzvah and I speak? You have to make a new bracha? So if it's like Birchas Hanenin, just like Birchas Hanenin, in the middle of a meal, I don't have to make a new bracha if I speak, as long as I'm going to eat more. So too, if I'm in the middle of many mitzvahs, and I speak in the middle, I shouldn't have to go back and make a new bracha. If it's a Birchas Shevach Vayda, so then maybe it has nothing to do with Birchas Hanenin. So even though in the middle of a meal, if I speak, it's not considered to be a hefsik. Maybe if I speak in between performing one mitzvah and the next, I have to make two Birchas Shevach Vayda, right? So even if I made a bracha on one shechita, if I speak in between that shechita and the next shechita, I got to go back and make a new bracha. One could have suggested that according to the Agos HaShri. So Salvechik continued. He said that's the two opinions here in the Shulchan Aruch. Simen Yud Tesif Hey. Last thing on the sheet from yesterday. It says Emroitz Elishchet Harbe. You want to shech many animals. Tzarech Lizoyesh Lo Yedaber Ledaber Ben Shechita Lishchita. You got to be careful not to speak in between the one shechita and the next. B'davar she'enu mitzarech yeshchita. Something that has nothing to do with the shechita. If it has to do with the shechita, of course you can speak. It's not a hefsek. V'im diber, right? If you speak and before hamaitzi, you ask, can you bring the salt? So that's not a hefsek. I don't think there's a mitzvah to do that. There are people though who do that. You know, it's show that I know halacha. So they say, can you please pass me the salt? And everyone's like, I guessed. How can you speak before hamaitzi? So the guy's showing off that he knows halacha. I don't know if there's a mitzvah to do it. You know. But you can go and get the salt. You know, you don't have to ask somebody to give you. But the truth of the matter is, it's not a hefsek. It would not be a hefsek. Okay. If it's me'inyan, because that has to do with what we're doing now. But if it's nothing to do with what you're doing now, you shouldn't speak between one shechita and the next. And if you did, you have to go back and make a new bracha. Tzarech l'chasas dam shechita rishayinu levarech pama cheres al shechita. You have to go back and make a second bracha on the next shechita. But v'yeishayimrim. There are those that say the sicha ben shechita l'shechita lo havi hefzik. Speaking between one shechita and the next is not a hefzik. So Salvechik suggested that second opinion is like the Rambam. That Brachan Shechit, of course, a Birchas HaMitzvah, and a Birchas HaMitzvah is like Birchas Hananin. It allows you, gives you permission to do the Shechita. Just like Birchas Hananin gives you permission to eat the food. But just like Birchas Hananin, if you speak in between the meal, I don't have to go back and ask permission again. So too, if I'm in between many Shechitos, and I speak in between one Shechita and the next, and I'll go back and make a new Birchas HaShechita again. The first opinion of Shulchan Aruch is that, like HaGos HaShri, it's not a Birchas HaMitzvah, it's not like Birchas Hananin at all. Brach of Shechita is Birchas HaMitzvah. Birchas HaMitzvah is not like Birchas Hanenin. It's not that it gives me permission to do Shechita. It's thanking Hashem for the relationship. But if I speak, maybe I have to go back and make a new bracha. And don't tell me Birchas Hanenin, you don't have to make a new bracha in the middle of a meal. Birchas HaMitzvah has nothing to do with Birchas Hanenin. Birchas Hanenin, if you didn't make it before, you can't make it later. According to the Gosa Shri, Birchas HaMitzvah, if you didn't make it before, you can make it later. So of course, we're machmir on this. This comes up, even if those of us who are not doing Shechita. But let's say a person puts up mezuzahs, yeah, in his apartment. So he's going to make a bracha l'kvoya mezuzah. Can he speak in between putting up one mezuzah and the next? Ideally, no. If he did, would he have to go back and make a new bracha? Same machlokes. According to the Agos HaShri, he might have to go back and make a new bracha. That's the first opinion of Shulchan Aruch here. According to the Rambam, just like you can speak in the middle of a meal and you don't have to make a new birchas hananin if you speak in between the one mitzvah and the next. You don't have to make a new bracha. Just like Birchas Hanenin is a matir, it's permission, so to this bracha is permission, and the permission hasn't dissipated just because you spoke in between. So you shouldn't speak while you're putting on mezuzahs, but if you did, it's a big machlekes ha'poskim, whether you have to go back and make a new bracha. This machlekes, therefore, it should be avoided. You can only speak about what's me'inyan ha'mitzvah. You know, where should the mezuzah go? Can you pass me the hammer or the nails? But otherwise, you shouldn't really speak in the middle of All right, so that concludes our discussion whether Shechita is a mitzvah, is a mati, and the whole bracha on the Shechita. But let's start the mission over here. Well, we started. Hopefully, we'll finish this tomorrow. Let's start. The Mishnah says, "Oh, the clock is right today. Someone fixed it." So Hakol Shechtin, the Mishnah says, everybody can shecht. Vishkitatzin Kshero, and the Shechita is found. Chutz, Mecheirah Shoyta Vekotan. What's the Cheirish? For the deaf, mute. Shoyta, who's not meant to be stable, Vekotan. And the child. Shema, why? Because these individuals are not considered to have das. Shema Yikaku Shechitasan. Maybe they'll make a mistake in performing the Shechita. V'ku, we're going to pick apart this entire Mishnah. V'ku and sheshechtu, you know, and all those who shechted, who are all those? Is that the Cheirish Shoyta and the Katan? Is that a different group of individuals who was left out of the Mishnah? That's going to be a further discussion tomorrow. Who are these Kul and sheshechtu? But V'ku and sheshechtu, V'acherim roinasan, if other people see them, Shechitasan Kshera. The Shechita is good if someone else is standing over them. Okay, but let's start with the first few words of the Mishnah. Kol Shecht and Mishchitas and Kshev. Everybody can Shecht and the Shechita is good with the exception of three people, the Cheirish Shoyta and the Katan. What about women? Can a woman Shecht? Sounds like she can, right? I wouldn't exclude them. So Tosfos over here writes, HaKol Shechtim, Kasuv beHilchos Eretz Yisrael. Who is this Hilchos Eretz Yisrael? This is this Eldar Adani. Eldar Adani, who told us the unusual psak, that what? That if you didn't make the bracha and shechita, the shechita is no good, and the meat is still aser. Wow. Wow. Because you forgot to make the bracha. That was hard to, you know. We didn't bother even explaining it. It's almost so difficult. So you also said, the nashim lo yishkatu. Women shouldn't shech, but they should daiten kalas. Daiten kalas. Therefore, they shouldn't check. What does Daitan Kalos mean? Be careful. Careful.
Recording.
Be careful. What does that mean? So it appears twice in the Gemara. Anybody know one of them? Anybody know where it appears? Twice in the Gemara, yeah. Neither one in a place you would think.
Kedushin.
It appears in Kedushin. In what context?
Neither. Yichud.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Daf Pei in Masechtas Kedushin. Excellent. What does the Gemara say there? You remember?
Yeah, like a guy isn't allowed to be alone with two girls.
Oh, amazing.
They'd like be more inclined to do.
There's a distinction, Hilchos Yichud, which is a double standard that a man, one woman is allowed to be, one woman is permitted to be with two men because we assume each man will be a shomer for the other one and nothing inappropriate will occur. But a man is not permitted to be alone with two women. Mar says, what's the difference? If one woman is permitted to be alone with two men, because each man will serve as a shomer for the other one, why is one man prohibited to be alone with two women? Sigmar says, because nashim daitin kalos. Because the women are daitin kalos. So the Rishonim there explain what that means is, they are more easily seduced, and therefore, the man might successfully seduce both women at the same time. One of the other Rishonim say that they'll cover for each other, meaning not that he'll seduce both women. That's how Rashi learns. Other Rishonim say, no, the women have some code of conduct, you know, that they'll a code of secrecy. They'll cover for one another more often than men. Men are ready to stab each other in the back, right? So they'll cover for one another. They won't divulge the secret that one of them engaged in an inappropriate relationship. Okay, but so maybe the Gemara means that they're more easily seduced, or maybe they have some code of secrecy between them, you know, and women bound together. But that's what Nashim Daitan Kalas means, something to do with seduction. And there's one other place it appears. Well, we're at the wrong time of year, but it appears in the Gemara by Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Masechta Shabbos, everybody knows what daf, Masechta Shabbos, Lame Gimel, right? The Lag Baomer. Zaf Lame Gimel, the Gemara tells the story of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Before they went to the cave, they were hiding out in a Beis Medrash, in an undisclosed location. How were they eating? Not carob. They were eating because his wife was bringing him bread and water. So his wife knew where they were. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was learning together with his son. And the time of Gzeiras Hashmad. But they said to each other, you know, his wife and the mother knew where they were. If she'll be tortured, she'll give up their location because Nashim Daitan Kalas. So again, what it means in that context is that she could be easily persuaded or she'll give in to the torture more, you know, quickly than perhaps a man who might have a higher, you know, level of tolerance. Okay, so clearly has nothing to do with anything that people might evoke this phrase incorrectly for, and pejoratively and disparagingly. That's not what it means at all. It means, to perhaps to describe some difference in whether or not she would give in to the torture more easily, or perhaps, you know, in terms of engaging in inappropriate relationships and being seduced. That's where the phrase has relevance. So what is it doing here? Bashchita. Nashim lo yishchitu, v'mnei shedaitin kalas. What does that mean? Why? Because daitin kalas. So the Achronim have two ways of understanding this comment of Elder Adani. One is that perhaps what it means is, and this you can understand where this is coming from. I wouldn't have used the phrase daitin kalas, but the Bach in your day says, well, maybe what he means is that they're more easily, you know, more faint of heart. So therefore, she's going to see the blood pouring out, which is shocking. Well, how much blood pours out of an animal? Maybe at some point we'll go to a slaughterhouse, but there's no behemoth gossips near here. But there's a ton of blood. It's overwhelming almost. So she might faint. And if she faints, she won't be able to follow through on the shechita. And that's what he means, nashim daitin kalas. She'll faint more easily. They're more faint of heart. They don't like the gore. Right? Some men can't get enough of it. Right? So, okay, she's not going to be happy with it. The other approach in the Levush, the other Achrayim, is somewhat, you know, more disturbing, but that is that the woman is in charge of the kitchen. She has a lot of responsibility on her, and therefore perhaps she'll cut corners. She'll be seduced by the temptation of not wanting to throw away the animals because someone might get angry at her about that, you know, that she didn't perform the shechita properly. So since she might not have the integrity to withstand the criticism of not performing shechita properly, so that's why we didn't allow her to perform shechita. Whatever it is, says the Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, the nashim lo yishchitu v'mnei shedaitin kalas. Okay. Ve'ein nireh, says Tosfos, this is incorrect. Whatever pshat you're going to offer is incorrect. This is all wrong. Da'afilu b'mukdashin shechtes l'chadchila. Even when it comes to kachim, women can shecht l'chadchila. K'damrin apel kol apsulim. Because the Mishnah says, m'sechtes zvachim, kol apsulim sheshechtu di'eved in l'chadchila lo. The Mishnah says, all the psulim, meaning anyone who's puzzled li'avayda, who can't perform the avayda in the Beis HaMikdash, as we said yesterday, shechita lav avayda hi, 2 days ago, whenever we mentioned it, Shechit is not one of the avodos in the Beis HaMikdash with regards to what? That even it could even be performed by a czar, or even someone who's puzzled. For avodah is not a kohen. Or if it's a kohen, puzzled, is permitted to do shechita. Kol hapsulim sheshechtu dieved. You know, the shechita is kasha. So the Mishnah, the Gemara infers, dieved in lechadchila lo. Kol hapsulim sheshechtu sounds like they did it already. But dieved, the shechita is good, but not lechadchila. But the Gemara is v'shachem alamich hashchita k'shera. But it sounds like the shchita is kashim. Mishani who adin dafilu chachila. No, the Gemara concludes that in fact it's lechachila. A psul a pasul can shecht. But there is one pasul that is b'di'evet. So that's why the Mishnah's entire thing is phrased b'di'evet. Mishani who adin dafilu chachila. Mishum deboy lemizni tamei b'mukdashim. A person who's tamei lechachila shouldn't shecht kachim. Even though he's possibly avoid them, psulim or kachim for shchita, even with the yeved, here he might make the kachim tameh by touching them. Do a chachila though, he shouldn't do it. So tani nami sheshachtu. So therefore, all of them, all of the psulim, are described as with the yeved in order to make sure that this tameh doesn't shecht the chachila. He's only with the yeved. Well, Ka'amar, but the Gemara didn't say the bari l'misni nashim. The Gemara didn't say, well, the whole Mishnah is phrased with the yeved because women can only shecht with the yeved. No, women can shecht even l'chadchila. The Tanu who bereish lo vada mishum denoshen shecht l'chadchila afil b'mukdoshen. Okay, women can shecht l'chadchila by kachim. Certainly then they can shecht l'chadchila by chulin. And therefore Tosfos dismisses this comment of the Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. And the Rosh goes even further. The Rosh not only attacks this psak of the Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, he says everything he says we shouldn't accept. Look over here, says the Rosh, Perek Alf, Semen Alf, of the Hilchos Eretz Yisrael kosav. The nashim lo yishketu and they should die in kalos. Women shouldn't shecht, and they should die in kalos. Ve'ein hashash shalonu sofer kein, says the Rosh, it's against our Gemara. Ve'ois hachachom shekosav hilchos Eretz Yisrael, that time hachachom who wrote that hilchos of Eretz Yisrael, kosav chumras midaitoi. He speculated, created, he legislated his own halachas. Uchmochen kosav, and what's his raya? He was something else ridiculous. Shachach v'loy birech, if you forgot to make a bracha before the shechita, shechitas subsua. That's impossible to justify, says the Rosh. Why? Just because you forgot to make the bracha, so the shechita be no good. So he has a disparaging comment about the Hilchos Eretz Yisrael entirely. And in fact, who is this Hilchas Eretz Yisrael? Was Eldar Adani. Why is his name Hadani? He was from the Shevet of Dan. Where did he come from? Shevet of Dan? What Shevet of Dan? Shevet of Dan was lost. When was the Shevet of Dan lost? Right before Churban Bayis Rishon. And Sefer Malachim, we're told that the 10 Shvatim that split apart from Shevet Yehuda, Binyamin and Levi, they fought, you know, there was two kingdoms right after Shlomo HaMelech already, split apart. So in the times of, I think, Ravan ben Nevat, the 10 Shvatim were sent into Galus. The whole story in Sefer Malachim. So they were sent away. Shevet Dan is gone. All we have is Yehuda, Binyamin, and Levi. The other 10 are gone. So Shevet Dan was gone. So where did this guy come from? So the Rishonim explained that what happened was, you look in the history books, what happened was, in the 9th century, this Eldar Adani, who claimed to be from Shevet Dan, somewhere in Africa, said that no, that the 10 Shvatim are alive and well, somewhere in Africa, and he was together with God, Asher and Naphtali, he says, that we have a large community in Africa of the 10 Shvatim, and they still exist. And this is in the 9th century, so it's the beginning of, you know, the period of the Ga'onim, before the period of the Rishonim, and they were, you know, they had a dilemma, should they, and he had this whole Sefer of Halachas, known as Hilchas Eretz Yisrael, should we accept what this Eldar Adani is saying? Is it possible that the 10 Shvatim still exist and are still practicing the Torah in the Mitzvahs? Can we accept what he says? So there's a big discussion in the times of the Ga'onim, can we accept what he says? And they quoted Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin, which has a Machlekes. What happened to the 10 Shvatim? Will they ever come back? So Mishnah quotes from the Pasuk in, I think, in Parashas Vayelech, Parashas Nitzavim, Vayashlichem Eretz Acheres Kayoim Azeh. Kadosh Baruch Hu will send them away, as of today, Kadosh Baruch Hu will send them away to a foreign land. Vayashlichem Eretz Acheres Kayoim Azeh. So it says Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah, at the end of Masechta Sanhedrin, that as of today they'll be sent away, that just like when the day is over, it's done with, you can't go back and change what happened today. Just like, you know, when the sun sets, the day ends, so to the Yesod Shvatim and Hashem sent them into Galus, they're never coming back. Yashlichem, Eretz Acheres Kayoim Azeh, were sent to a foreign land as of today, just like today, when it's over, it's over. When the 10 Shvatim were sent away, they're not coming back. Wow, that's harsh. So the Gemara quotes, the Mishnah there quotes the opinion of Rabbi Lazar, who disagrees. He said, no, just like the sun, every time it sets, it rises again. So too, even though the 10 Shvatim were sent away, they will make a return. Oh, much more encouraging. The opinion of Rebbe is in the Gemara that it depends. That if they maintain their you know, lack of commitment, so then they'll never return. If they change their ways and their attitude, then they in fact can return. So the Gemara concludes its entire discussion that Rabbi Yochanan said about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the harshest, right? Rabbi Akiva said, just like when the day sets, it's over. Sun sets, the day is over. Shavka Rabbi Akiva l'chassiduse. Rabbi Akiva abandoned his usual approach of being so kind and compassionate. And here it's Rabbi Akiva, right? You know, that Kal Gadol B'Torah v'Ahavta Re'acha Kamecha. Here he is sending away the 10 Shvatim, never to be returned. That's not in line with Rabbi Akiva's usual, you know, disposition. Here it seems unusually harsh. Okay, so Shavak Rabbi Akiva l'chassiduse. That's the comment, the parting comment of Rabbi Yochanan. So that's why the Rishayim, the Achray, the Ga'inim struggled. What should we do with this Eldar Adani who came with all of his new halachas claiming to be from the Shevet of Dan? The Ibn Ezra mentions this in a passing comment on the Pasuk when Moshe Rabbeinu was given his name, Kimin Amai, Mishisihu, who gave him that name, and it's a whole discussion, who gave him the name? Why? It sounds like who gave him the name? Okay, who gave him that name? The daughter of Paro. She says she picked him up out of the water and she called him Moshe Kimin Amai Mishisihu, because I pulled him from the water. The problem is, why is it difficult to say it was the daughter of Paro who gave him that name? Because it's a derivation in Lashon HaKodesh. The name of Moshe Kimin Amai Mishisihu, because I pulled him out of the water. It's derived from a Hebrew word. Did the daughter of Paro speak Hebrew? What? How did she give him the name of Moshe, which is a Hebrew name? So, maybe some say it was Tzipora. I'm sorry, that it was Miriam, who were watching what would happen to Moshe Rabbeinu, when they saw that the daughter of Pharaoh pulled him out, so they said, they proclaimed his name. Others say Bas Parah was given Ruach HaKodesh to speak Lashon, you know, to speak Lashon HaKodesh. Others say she was in a Kiruv program and she was already speaking Lashon HaKodesh. Anyway, a whole story. Some say the name Moshe is an Egyptian name. That's what the Nitziv says. Okay, lots of different approaches. So Ibn Ezra is discussing this and he says, and don't listen to what it says in these, you know, illegitimate works like the Sefer Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. And he throws it in for no reason. You know, passing comment. So he didn't accept it. Other Rishonim didn't accept it. Other Rishonim did accept it. Tosfos quoted him, right? You and I are not quoted in Tosfos. The Sefer Hilchos Eretz Yisrael is. So obviously Tosfos thought highly enough of him to quote him. Although the Rush, you know, lets us know what he thinks about him. So, okay.
You just call him Chacham now.
Yeah. So they did quote him. So what is the story over here? So the Radvaz said, as a tshuva from the period of the Rishonim, that we should accept Eldar Adani. We should accept Eldar Adani. He says, why? Because that's what Rabbi Yochanan meant to tell us. We don't pass like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yochanan says, Shavak Rabbi Akiva Chasidusei. Rabbi Akiva left his normal approach. What the Rabbi Yochanan meant to tell us is, we don't pass like you, Rabbi Akiva. This is not what we're used to hearing from you. This is too harsh. You should go back to your compassionate ways. Rabbi Yochanan was saying, we don't pass like you. We can't handle this. The Esa Shvatim, in fact, will return. And the Radvaz has a, this is a fantastic shot. He says, that's why the pasuk of Vayashlichem of Eretz Acheres Kayom Azeh, you'll be sent to a foreign land. As of today, the lamed is very tall. It's a big lamed. Right? Sometimes you have big letters like the right, the ayin and shema, you know, the daud and echad and shema, and the ayin the shema, big letters. So Vayashlichem, the lamed is very big. Says the Radvaz, one of the Rishonim, because it's a rope that Hashem is throwing to the ten shvatim, even though I'm sending you away, I'm giving you a lifeline, right? The life preserver. The top of the lamed is a rope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sending to the Esa Shvatim that they should return. They'll be able to come back. So Vaz claims we paskin that they will return. However, this was a shaila in our times, the Ethiopian community when they came to Eretz Yisrael, and I mean in our times in the last, you know, 60 years. They claimed also to be from, you know, practicing Jews, members of the Esa Shvatim. So can we accept them, you know, can we assume that they are legitimate Jews? Do they require geiros? Do we have to be afraid of their mamzerim? Of course, there's a big discussion, you know, decades ago. And that brought up the whole issue again. Do we assume that the Esa Shvatim will return? Won't they return? So that's part of the discussion about this character, Eldar Adani, is can we accept his work as legitimate in the first place? Will there be Jews who return from the Shevet of Dun? But the Rishonim here seem to quote him, even though they do so suspiciously. We don't accept too many of the comments here of Eldar Adani. Yeah.
But how come Rabbi Akiva went from his normal approach of like being like valuable?
That's why Rabbi Yochanan was astonished. He says, "Shavke Rabbi Akiva, chassidus."
But wouldn't that be more reason to go?
Vos epis. Yeah.
But wouldn't that be more reason to go by Rabbi Akiva here if he's known for being the more?
He obviously felt strongly about it. I mean, it gives him more legitimacy. Yeah. I'm usually so compassionate, and here even I have reached my limits. Yeah, maybe. Okay, but we'll have to discuss. Do women shecht lamaisa? So there's a whole discussion in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. How should we paskin? What does this tell us about women's roles in general within the community? We'll have a lot more to say.